Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Just a flurry of activity this afternoon. Holy cow. It's like unbelievable. I love afternoon drive. Love, love, love it. For this reason, it all happens in the afternoon. I forgot how great this was. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Truly, I mean, when I was in afternoon drive during the Trump era, the first go round when he was 45, it was like this every day. Breaking news all throughout the afternoon. And then back in the election, breaking news all throughout the afternoon. And here we are again. Boom. Breaking news all throughout the afternoon. This is great. Great, great stuff. I'm super excited about it. And absolutely. So wonderful, wonderful stuff. In case you missed it, Trump just signed a flurry of executive orders, pardons, and also had a lot of comments, all from the Oval Office in the White House. This comes hours after he addressed Davos, the bond villains at the World Economic Forum. That's what I mean. I mean, I know that there was a whole rumor that I left mornings because I didn't like getting up early. That's true. I don't. But I love the nonstop pace of afternoon drive because it's all, especially with this guy. I mean, it's nonstop, literally. So we have the feed from what just took place at the White House. So you can listen to it in its entirety. That's the promise I make for you for the next 4 years. Even if we have a guest or something, if we can't move things around, we'll roll on it and then bring it to you so you don't have to leave us. That's just the only thing I ask. Just don't go anywhere. Stay right here, and you're not going to miss it. That's my solemn vow to you as my loyal audience. All right? So this is what happened a few moments ago at the White House. Let's take a listen.
Executive orders, they were very important in just about every case. And it will go through the first one, please.
Sure. Do you want to?
Yeah, Mr. President, this is an executive order on crypto. We're going to be, this is an executive order on AI. Announcing the administration's policy to make America the world capital in artificial intelligence and to dominate and to lead the world in AI.
Do you want to say your name, your full name?
Yeah, David Sachs, AI and crypto czar.
David is one of the greatest in the world at AI, most respected probably there is. So that should take us to the forefront, right?
Absolutely. We got it, man.
Okay. Thank you. And this, David, is?
Yeah, this is the Crypto EO. We're going to be forming an internal working group to make America the world capital in crypto under your leadership.
Which is really going up, right?
Absolutely.
David, that's for you.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, I know I have an afternoon drive show, by the way. Thank you. Just looking at some of the YouTube comments on our stream here.
They might not be excited, but we're going to make a lot of money for the country.
Thank you, sir.
And so is David. You have to check him out. There's nobody like this guy. They said, how did you get David Sachs? How did you do that? And he's doing it for the country more than anything else, so we appreciate it, David. Thank you very much.
This is an executive order establishing a presidential commission, an advisory commission on science and technology.
Good.
Who said I said the listeners aren't important? Listeners are why I'm doing this.
You want to explain that a little bit?
The basic idea is to get together top people from government, the private sector, technology industry, as well as educational institutions to make sure that America maintains its leadership position with respect to science and technology development in the years ahead.
Good. That's great.
Somebody said, I said the audience, the listeners aren't important.
Encouraging departments and agencies in your government, including the Department of the Interior, to promote federal recognition of the Lumbee tribe of North Carolina.
I love the Lumbee tribe.
Love the Lumbee tribe.
Big step, right?
This would be a huge step for them.
Yeah, they were with me all the way. They were great.
Gary Arnell said that?
North Carolina, Lumbee tribe.
I'm going to text Gary right now and tell him that that's an idiotic thing. If I don't have listeners, I don't have a show.
Okay, you'll send them a copy of that?
Yes, sir.
Why would I say the listeners aren't important? I have a show. If I don't have listeners, I don't have a show. That makes no sense.
And if you'd like, I could get them that pen, sir, as well.
Yeah, let's do that.
By the way, if you're wondering what Trump's signature looks like,
a set of pardons for peaceful pro-life protesters who were prosecuted by the Biden administration for exercising their First Amendment rights.
It looks like this scribble.
Do you know how many?
I believe it's 23, sir.
Good.
23 people.
Excellent.
Were prosecuted. They should not have been prosecuted.
Absolutely not.
Many of them are elderly people. They should not have been prosecuted. This is a great honor to sign this.
I'll slap Arnell in the face next time I see him. Just like Wyatt Earp does in Tombstone. Oh boy, you're gonna stand there and bleed? Peaceful protesters outside abortion clinics should never be prosecuted with the...
So they're all in prison now?
Some are. Some are out of custody.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're supposed to be hearing me. I'm talking as well.
We have an executive order ordering the declassification of files relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That's a big one.
Outstanding.
A lot of people are waiting for this for a long, for years.
Wait, can you hear me? People are saying they can't hear me. They can hear me. Okay.
And everything will be revealed.
Everything. Good. Bravo. Bravo.
Okay. Give that to RFK Jr.
Yes, sir.
Give that to RFK Jr., the pen.
Okay.
Soggy Donuts loves
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Mr.
Thank
President,
you.
Mr. President, a U.S. judge temporarily blocks the birthright citizenship order. Do you have any reaction?
No, obviously we'll appeal it. They put it before a certain judge in Seattle, I guess, right? And there's no surprises with that judge.
Mr. President, Senators Collins and Murkowski have now said they will vote against Pete Hegseth. Are you worried about his confirmation and your reaction?
No. And no surprises there. Too bad. You know, it's the way it is. Too bad.
And when would you adjourn Congress to make recess appointments, Mr. President?
Well, I'd take a look at that. I've listened to John Thune. He's doing a fantastic job. We're moving along. The Democrats are trying to delay government, as they always do. They can't help themselves. Even John Ratcliffe, who's very, very strong, very popular, and liked by the Democrats. I guess he gets a lot of Democrat votes. That's taking a long time, and it shouldn't be taking a long time. They're maxing everything out so they can delay everything as much as possible.
Do Senator Thune support an effort to use recess appointments if you choose to do that?
I'd be willing to use recess appointments. It's up to John. We'll see. And John Thune's a great guy, great senator, knows his stuff inside out and backwards, but I would use recess appointments if he wants to do that. Absolutely. The Democrats are just delaying. They always delay.
Mr. President, you spoke with the Saudi Crown Prince yesterday.
Who?
The Saudi Crown Prince. How was the call?
Great.
And they said $600 billion they're going to invest.
$600. I'll ask him for $1 trillion.
You said you're going to ask him for $1 trillion. Will Saudi Arabia be the first foreign country you will visit? since they invest in that much
money. Well, if they do that, I would, yeah. No. I would be glad to do that. I did it, as you know, 4 years ago. We did $450 billion, meaning the money all goes to American companies, and they purchase jets and they purchase computers and everything else. And we did $450 billion, and I guess we're at 600, 650. And I'll see if I can talk him into it.
I don't think it leaves again. You showed great confidence in Steve Witkoff. Why you said that you doubt that the ceasefire in Gaza will hold, since you appraised his
I think he's great, but it's a very tricky place. It's very tricky. We'll see. And if something does happen, they will not be happy.
Sir, follow up on that one. In terms of Steve Witkoff, are you going to put him in charge of Iran's strategy, and do you want him talking directly with the Iranians?
No, but he's certainly somebody I would use. He's done a fantastic job. He's a great negotiator. He's a very good person, a very popular person, gets along with people. I have great negotiators. They have no personality whatsoever, and then I have some that do. Steve has a wonderful way about him, and people like him, and even in this case, both sides like him. And he was able to make a deal. That deal would have never been made without Steve. The Biden people couldn't make the deal. They were working on it for a year and a half. They couldn't make a deal. We got it done prior to the inauguration. We said it has to be before the inauguration. I mean, the deal should hold, but if it doesn't hold, there'll be a lot of problems.
Related to your AI, EO, just hours after you made that big Stargate announcement, Elon Musk tweeted that they don't actually have the money. Is that true?
I don't know if they do, but, you know, they're putting up the money. The government's not putting up anything. They're putting up money. They're very rich people, so I hope they do. And I mean, Elon doesn't like one of those people, so...
Are you worried that AI is going to replace many American jobs?
No, it's going to create tremendous numbers of jobs. It's going to also create a lot of benefits medically for cancer research and other things. It's going to have a huge positive impact. And, you know, we want to be ahead of China. We're right now way ahead of China. David Sachs is one of the all-time experts. You know, the people are amazed that you just met him. I don't know if he's still here. There he is. But
Trump just brings the reporters into the Oval Office. He's already spoken to the press more than Biden has in Biden's entire presidency.
What I'm doing, and I think it's going to be very successful.
It's really not a joke.
You just asked the Davos Forum again that NATO countries should spend 5% of GDP on defense. Yeah. The United States don't spend 5%.
Well,
it should also apply to the United States.
We're protecting them, you know. They're not protecting us. We're protecting them. So I don't think we should be spending. I'm not sure we should be spending anything, but we should certainly be helping them. But they should up their 2% to 5%. Yeah.
Mr. President, you said earlier during your speech at Davos that you would like to see interest rates come down. Yeah. How much would you like to see them come down?
A lot.
While you talk
I'd like to see them come down a lot, and oil prices will come down. And when oil prices come down, everything's going to be cheaper for the American people and actually for the world. But for the American people, so I'd like to see oil prices come down. And when the energy comes down, that's going to knock out a lot of the inflation. That's going to automatically bring the interest rates down.
Are you worried that there's too much going on at once if you're trying to bring interest rates down and get the economy back going?
No, it just works that way. I mean, it's just economically works that way. When the oil comes down, it'll bring down prices. Then you won't have inflation, and then the interest rates will come down.
You said that you would demand that the interest rates come down.
Well, I would put in a strong statement.
Do you expect the Fed to listen to you?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk to Powell about this?
Yeah.
And bringing the rates down?
At the right time, I would.
Sir, do you have any of the people you pardoned that were participated in the January 6, 2021 attack? Do you plan to meet with any of them or meet with them at the White House?
I don't know. I'm sure that they probably would like to. I did them something important, but what they did is they were protesting a crooked election. You know, I mean, people understand that also. And they were treated very badly. Nobody's been treated like that. So I'd be open to it, certainly. I don't know of anything like that, but I think they're going to meet in some of the Congress people, congressmen, women, want to meet.
He does not hide from the press, I'll tell you that.
Have you spoken to them since you issued the pardons?
I haven't spoken to any of them yet, but I know they're very happy.
Mr. President,
I gave them their life back. Their life was taken away from them. unnecessarily and unfairly. I gave them their life back, so I can imagine they probably would like to.
Mr. President,
what did you mean when you said that Biden took bad advice and not pardoning himself yesterday?
Well, he did. I think he did, because he pardoned all these people that are crooked as hell. Look, the congressmen, they're crooked. What they did is they destroyed evidence. When you destroy evidence, especially criminally like that, they did it criminally. And the reason they destroyed the evidence is because it proved that I was right. They didn't destroy evidence for no reason. They destroyed it because they found many documents saying that I offered 10,000 soldiers. If they had 500 soldiers or National Guard, there would have been no problem. If they had 200, there would have been. I offered 10,000 if they needed them. There would have been no problem. That's been now totally disproven. And it's also been disproven by Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who has her on tape saying it was her fault, that she has full responsibility for this. But, and they have all that stuff. They destroyed everything. And they go through a year and a half, 2 years of nonsense. They come up with tremendous evidence, and they destroyed evidence. And Schiff knew about it. That's why he's on there. He knew all about the destruction of evidence. A lot of people said he's the one that got him to do it. And he's a crooked guy, you know, totally crooked politician. And so he's pardoned, and some other people are pardoned. And these are crooked politicians, every one of them. Benny Johnson, what he did is incredible. I mean, he was the leader of the committee, and he did it. Cheney, crying Adam Kinzinger, all of them. They destroyed evidence and deleted everything. There's nothing. There's no evidence now. They're crooked politicians, and they should be punished. You know, that's even in a civil trial, you go to jail for a thing like that. They destroyed every document, from what I understand, every document, because it proved that I was totally innocent.
Do you plan to send up to 10,000 troops to the southern border, sir?
When you say southern border, when I said 10,000 troops, I was referring to the Capitol.
When do you plan to do that?
10,000 troops to the Capitol before January 6th.
And as for the 1,500 at the southern border, sir, to clarify, what exactly do you want them to be doing right now?
Making sure that the border is safe and secure and that criminals don't come into our country.
Mr. President, do you think that sanctions on Russia will force President Putin to negotiate?
I don't know, but I think he should make a deal.
Mr. President, does it bother you that Elon Musk criticized a deal that you made publicly, that he said that he tweeted that?
No, it doesn't. He hates one of the people in the deal.
Have you spoken to him since then?
No. I've spoken to Elon, but I've spoken to all of them, actually. No, the people in the deal are very, very smart people. But Elon, one of the people he happens to hate, but I have certain hatreds of people, too.
Sir, on China, what do you think Xi Jinping can do on the Ukraine-Russia war?
Which one?
Ukraine-Russia war. What can Xi Jinping do about that?
China?
Yeah.
They have a lot of power over Russia. They supply energy to Russia. And Russia supplies energy to them. They supply other things to, you know, it's really a very big trade. It's a very big trading partner. But Russia supplies a lot of energy to China. China pays them a lot of money for that. And I think they have a lot of power over Russia. So I think Russia should want to make a deal. Maybe they want to make a deal. I think, from what I hear, Putin would like to see me, and we'll meet as soon as we can. I'd meet immediately. Every day we don't meet, soldiers are being killed in a battlefield. And that battlefield is like no battlefield since World War II. I have pictures that you don't want to see. Soldiers are being killed on a daily basis at numbers that we haven't seen in decades. It would be nice to end that war. It's a ridiculous war.
You said that Ukraine's ready to make a deal. Did President Zelensky tell you that personally?
Yeah, sure. He's ready to negotiate a deal. He'd like to stop. He's somebody that lost a lot of soldiers, and so did Russia. Lost a lot. Russia lost more soldiers. They lost 800,000 soldiers. Would you say that's a lot? I'd say it's a lot.
It'd be great if the war ends. We all want it to end, except the military-industrial complex.
His children and civil rights leaders who say that your DEI orders are a contradiction of his dream and could further drive racial.
Well, I haven't heard that.
Mr. President, you put the Houthis back on the terror list. How do you see the war in Yemen end?
Well, we'll see what happens, but they can't shoot down our ships, the Houthis.
Yes.
And that, you can't shoot down our ships or any ships, and that's what they've been doing. So they're on the terror list. That's not good for them.
Sir, why did you revoke security protections for former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Brian Hook?
Well, the same reason I do. When you have protection, you can't have it for the rest of your life. Do you want to have a large detail of people guarding people for the rest of their lives?
Exactly. I mean,
there's risks to everything.
So would you support striking Iran's nuclear facilities?
Say it.
Would you support Israel, for example, striking Iran's nuclear facilities?
Well, I'm not going to answer that. Obviously, I'm not going to answer that question. We'll have to see. I'm going to be meeting with various people over the next couple of days. We'll see, but hopefully that could be
it's
worked
amazing.
Out
he just
having to worry
every
about
question
it.
Nice. He does, and there's no staff
really
in there
nice
yelling, get out of the room
without having to go that further step.
And who are you going to meet with?
I'd rather not say that, but very high level people. But hopefully that can be worked out. You know, look, Iran. Hopefully we'll be make a deal.
The only time he doesn't answer is if he thinks strategically it would be bad
okay
to answer.
Too.
Hey, Mr. President, just to follow up, you said you think the Fed should listen to you. Can you elaborate on why you think it should?
With regard to interest rates?
Correct, yes.
Because I think I know interest rates much better than they do.
It's true. He's a businessman.
I know it certainly much better than
the Fed has got us into this disaster we're
in charge of making that decision. But no, I'm guided by them very much. But if I disagree, I will let it be known.
Sir, your tariffs plan for China and Mexico are much tougher. The ones for Canada and Mexico are much tougher than the one for China. Why is it softer for China?
Well, China's already paying a lot of tariffs because of me. And when you add them up, I would say, you know, they're paying a lot. They paid hundreds of billions of dollars. They never paid 10 cents until I came along. When I came along, they've paid hundreds of billions of dollars, never paid anything. And so they've already started at a higher base.
Is February 1st the date for Chinese tariffs as well, sir? February 1, or was that just Mexico and Canada?
It's Mexico and Canada, but we're talking about China, too. Look, China's sending us tremendous amounts of bad drugs, fentanyl, really bad stuff. Most of it comes through Mexico, and we're losing, I think, 300,000 lives a year because of that. People say 150, 100, 120. I think 300,000 lives a year. Those are old numbers. The lower number is a low number. And we can't have that. They've got to stop sending it. I had a deal with President Xi, but it was a deal that wasn't followed up by Biden, of course, where they were going to issue the death penalty to people that make fentanyl, and that would have stopped it. But we'll have to stop it with tariffs. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. President.
There you go. Look, I mean, it's an amazing contrast, is it not, with Biden? Trump's been president for 4 days, and he's already answered more questions than Biden did in 4 years. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, it's true. And everything, unscripted, just answers every question. And if he doesn't want to answer a question, there's a strategic reason why he won't. He's, I'm not going to answer that because that would be not in the interest of the United States of America for me to answer that. But everything's on the table. Think about that. The press just comes in. He doesn't have a staff member like shutting it down. It's when he's done. He decides. And he just goes, all right, that's enough. I'm done. I've had it. And then, okay, that's when they go, thank you very much. Biden would be in the middle of speaking. Do you remember this? I remember this like it was yesterday. Biden would be in the middle of saying something, and they would start yelling to the press corps to get out of the room because they were so afraid of what he was going to say. Every time Biden would start talking to the press, there'd be a gigantic lump in all their throats. So they would just start going, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, and just drown out the president of the United States. They would use music to drown him out. Sometimes he'd be at an event and he would just wander off and then wander back to the podium and just start speaking. And they would play orchestra music like it was a guy winning the Academy Award for cinematography who spoke too long. And then we just start playing the music and drown out the president of the United States of America. And I'd never heard that in my entire life. In all the years I've been following presidential politics, I'd never heard of a single instance where the staff would drain out the boss, the president. But with Biden, they did it constantly because they were terrified that he was going to say something stupid, because he would say something stupid. I mean, that's remarkable. But nobody cuts Trump off. It's just he answers questions. He signs the EOs, answers any question. Nothing's off limits. Nothing's off the table. And then finally, he's like, all right, I'm done. I got to do something else. So thank you. And then you hear the staff go, OK, everybody, thank you. Move it out. Let's go. It's just it's so incredibly refreshing. For a dictator. And look, I know all these people are really dead, and these are just hologram illusions of them because he's killed all the journalists on day one. I know that. And he's just pretending that they're all still alive in the middle of the Oval Office, asking him any question they want to ask him with absolutely no filter whatsoever. But I'll tell you what. It is remarkable. You don't really typically see that in dictatorships, do you? That's why when the left was going on and on about him being a dictator, I just kept thinking, he talks to the press more than anybody. Probably, I mean, for some staff members, they're probably going, oh, God, like, come on, like, but they know Trump, and that's just the way he is. That's it. So that's going to be every day. Every day, he'll just bring the press corps into the Oval Office. I don't know how much Caroline Leavitt's going to actually be out there in the press room. Because he just brings them in. He's like, all right, you know what? Come on in. And then what do you want to ask me? Anything. Ask me anything. It's amazing. I forgot what that was like. Really did. Forgot what that was like. Such a contrast with Biden. Biden would be speaking and they would drown him out with orchestra music. unreal. And this is great. I love it because the president should be talking to the press. And you don't have to filter things through a press secretary. I mean, typically it's done that way because president's busy and you want to bring information out to the press corps. But I had this conversation with a certain Fox News personality who I won't mention, whose name, Ryan, well, I just said she was, I won't say her name. She may have been a White House press secretary. That should narrow it down. And I was on her show recently.
I wonder who it could be.
And she's a beautiful person, both inside and out. And I was on her show recently, but before Trump had named a press secretary, and I asked her, and again, totally off the record, I said, who do you think he's going to pick? And she said, it doesn't matter. He's his own press secretary. I was like, wow, that's a pretty accurate observation. From my friend, who I will not name, who's a Fox News host, who happened to be a White House press secretary once. And I'm not telling you who that is. You figure it out. Could take you all day. So good luck with that. Good luck. And I was just on her show recently this week. So, again, good luck trying to figure that out. Okay. Emmons Roofing and Siding. They're going to help you out with your home. And your home is going to look fantastic. And you'll be so happy you used them. Just like I have been using them for over 10 years in two different homes. Our home in our old town, they did the roof. Lifetime warranty on that roof with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. They remodeled our bathroom. Yes, Emmons has a bathroom and kitchen remodeling division as well. And I was so happy with the work they did back then. I said, let's also do the windows and some doors in our new house. They've done some work for me already. Look, you're going to get a 10% off inflation relief discount with Emmons Roofing and Siding. Each and every one of my listeners. And yes, my listeners are incredibly important to me. Without you, I don't have a show. And Matt and Stephanie are great friends of mine. They're good people, and they're going to make sure the job is done right and you're satisfied. They handle Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And you heard what Donahue said about weather in the Jersey Shore. So if you have a shore home, get it inspected. Have Emmons give you a free inspection of that roof. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't, but if you do, you're going to get the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle Lifetime Warranty. So do what I did and choose the company I trust. That's Emmons Roofing and Siding. 10% off inflation relief discount, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, baby. It's taste is on. Having fun today. Minnie just tweeted out a Zioli bingo card with all my ailments on it. Just outrageous. E. coli, shingles, bone spur surgery, falls off almost anything, deviated septum. I can't even read that one. What does that one say? I can't even read that. Something or other. Rotator cuff surgery, diverticulitis, lice, allergic reaction, something else I can't read, and rosacea. So that's outrageous, Minnie. Outrageous. But by the way, I'm getting a second surgery on the foot. That'll happen in a couple weeks, and we'll be good to go, I think. I'll only probably have to take one day off of work for that, so that's good. All right, busy day. Breaking news, and all the JFK files will be declassified, hopefully ASAP. John Ratcliffe sworn in as CIA director. This is a great day, a lot going on. And I got a ton of audio for you as well from Trump speaking to the Bond villains at Davos and the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and it's great. Look, the fact that Trump just said, I'll read what Johnny Cook just tweeted out, and I think it's excellent, and you know, you think of the times we live in, Trump saying, compare what Trump just said about wanting peace in Ukraine versus the Biden administration publicly complaining that the Ukrainians are too casualty averse. Yeah, Trump is trying to end. He wants to see this conflict come to an end. He told that to the Bond villains, too, at Davos. The Biden administration never wanted the war in Ukraine to end because the military-industrial complex was getting too rich. They didn't want the war to end. And they look at these soldiers as casualties, as just they're just numbers on a spreadsheet. I want to play this for you. I got a lot of stuff here, but this is here we go. Let me see if I can find this. I got a ton of audio here. Yes, okay, Pete Hegseth. So Pete Hegseth is going to get confirmed. That's the breaking news on this as well. Murkowski and Collins are going to vote no. Who the hell cares? Maybe McConnell will vote no. It doesn't matter. The Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, will break a tie if necessary, and Hegseth will be confirmed. Good. And we can all remember Collins, Murkowski, and Mitch McConnell as the slime bags that they are, and we can hold them accountable because these people are deep in the pockets of the war industrial complex, deep in their pockets. Look at this. If there's a Republican who has said over the years how much they stand with our ally Ukraine, that is code for I am in the pocket of the military industrial complex and I'm going to make sure that they get rich. They don't care about our ally Ukraine, another corrupt country. This is all about making weapons contractors rich because weapons contractors enrich their campaign coffers. Bottom line, you know that and I know that. Nonsense. But here's Chuck Schumer about Pete Hegseth. Cut 12. Sorry, cut 12, Sean.
I know there are plenty of Republican senators who would instantly make a better option than Mr. Hegseth. Is Pete Hegseth really the best the Republicans have to offer? How low has this party come in making him the nominee? I don't believe he's the best. I don't believe he's close to the best. I will be voting with complete conviction, no. Given his history, confirming Mr. Hegseth is simply put a risky roll of the dice that Americans cannot afford.
No,
in such an important position.
No, it's what the military-industrial complex can't afford. Because what you want in there, Chuck, is you want a guy, and you don't care if he's a drunken womanizer. If there was a general who was a drunken womanizer who would convince Trump to stay the course in Ukraine and keep sending them billions and billions of dollars, you'd be fine with it. You people are such freaking hypocrites. They're all a bunch of drunken booze-hound womanizers on Capitol Hill. They all sleep around. They all get wasted at parties and bombed at parties. I've been around these people. And let me tell you something. The alcohol flows in Washington, D.C. It's like a freaking river of booze. And so does the adultery, too. It flows. Everybody's having affairs on Capitol Hill. It's gross. So give me a freaking break. This isn't about his personal character. You could have a womanizing general who was literally snorting cocaine on his desk. If he was going to keep the military-industrial complex rich, he'd be confirmed in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. These lying scumbags. I can't stand these people. I really can't. Trump said something very interesting last night to Sean Hannity on what will be the first of probably 700 interviews he does with Sean Hannity over the next 4 years. He said we could probably end FEMA. I think there's a lot of federal agencies we could end and let the states handle it. I really do. What does FEMA really do when you think about it? FEMA is a money distribution channel, is really what it does. But every state has a National Guard. Every state has a governor. Every state has a governor who can order out the National Guard. And other states can help other states out as well. So what is the purpose of FEMA other than to make the president look good by sending in FEMA? And really, that's truly what it's about. Doing something. Politicians love to be able to do something by having press conferences and ordering up and declaring this, and they love that. And senators love it. And I don't think FEMA is going anywhere for that reason. But what a novel idea in the year 2024 to have states, or 2025, have states handle their own disasters. And if they need assistance, they can get it from their neighboring states. This is not 1860, so if New Jersey needed Pennsylvania's help, I'm sure the governor would be happy to send in the Pennsylvania National Guard to help. And if it really came down to it, the president could always pick up the phone and send somebody. But we're talking about the National Guard here, which governors oversee. Is there really a state that wouldn't come to the aid of another state? So what is the purpose of FEMA when you really think about it? It really truly is about just transferring wealth, because the federal government doesn't make any money. The federal government collects money and then it just redistributes money. Cut 16. I'm sorry. You know what, Sean? Let me say not to cut 16. Let's play cut 17. Trump indicates he could defund FEMA and have the states manage. Take a listen.
Now, I will say that Los Angeles has changed everything, because a lot of money is going to be necessary for Los Angeles, and a lot of people on the other side want that to happen. And
North Carolina, too.
Well, they don't care about North Carolina. The Democrats don't care about North Carolina. What they've done with FEMA is so bad. FEMA is a whole other discussion, because all it does is complicate everything. FEMA has not done their job for the last 4 years. I had FEMA working really well. We had hurricanes in Florida. We had Alabama tornadoes. But unless you have certain types of leadership, it gets in the way. And FEMA is going to be a whole big discussion very shortly, because I'd rather see the states take care of their own problems. If they have a tornado someplace, and if they let that state. Oklahoma is very competent. I love Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. 77 out of 77 districts. And that's never been done.
Yeah, it really is something that you have to question a lot of federal agencies and wonder in this day and age if it's necessary or if it's something the states can handle on their own. Department of Education is another great example of that. The DEP is another great example of that, or the EPA. Every state has their own Department of Environmental Protection. We duplicate so much in government. We duplicate all the time. This is fascinating, though. Regarding Trump today, the president announced, if you're just joining us, that he's going to declassify all the files around the assassination of John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy. And he handed Bobby Kennedy, said, give this to Bobby. Give this pen to RFK Jr. When we get back, he said something fascinating about Mike Pompeo and the JFK assassination. And that's the big top story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. It's 2025. So much to be happy about. So much to smile about. How's your smile? Come on. Don't put it off any longer. Make your appointment today to see Dr. Mike Veneria. Offices in Woodbury and Cinnaminson, right over the bridge. VeneriaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Breaking Bad, right, Justin?
Correct.
Great show. So good. Thanks to Dan Borowski. He sent me the timeline of the JFK assassination declassification. So DeSantis is going to preview that for us so we can get some exact timeline for you in the next hour as we do our hour of nonstop talk. But I appreciate that, big guy. Thank you. This is the fun part about Afternoon Drive, like I said, because all this stuff happens in the afternoon now, and it's great. It's just a blast. I love it. I forgot how much fun this was, to be honest with you, and now I kind of regret taking off tomorrow. But I finished the show yesterday and I fell asleep and I just slept and I slept all day. This antibiotic they're giving me is brutal, but thank God it's over in 2 weeks and then I'll be done with this, you know. But I mean, it's just, this thing just knocks you out. It stinks. So anyway, I'm not trying to whine about it. I'm just letting you know what I'm doing so you don't have to worry about me tomorrow. But I want to play this clip for you. This is so... You have all the Bond villains there, right? The Davos Bond villains. And these people truly are. They're all rich. They get there in their yachts and their planes. And then they go and they whine about climate change. You know what I mean? And then Trump gets up there at Davos and he just basically mocks all of this and mocks their entire agenda, which I love, because I can't stand these people. They're the worst. These are the people that think that they're better and smarter than everybody, and they want to control the world, and they should all live on a freaking volcano island. They should. And they probably do. They probably have their own volcano islands. They have so much money. And they think that because they have all this money, they're able to rule our lives. And the climate change scam has been the thing that's been pushing these people for years. That and the pandemic scams, they can try to completely destroy our sovereignty and then control all of us. That's what they want. And they think the fact that they're all billionaires entitles them to be able to make choices for each and every one of us. So Trump goes there, by the way, a billionaire, even though they don't like him. They think he's what's the word? Whatever the word is. They think he's grotesque. You know? I mean, this is a dude who participated in professional wrestling events. So he goes up there and he just gives it right to him regarding climate change. Cut 31.
We're going to build electric generating facilities. They are going to build. I'm going to get them the approval. Under emergency declaration, I can get the approvals done myself without having to go through years of waiting. And the big problem is we need double the energy we currently have in the United States. Can you imagine? For AI to really be as big as we want to have it, because it'll be very competitive with China and others. So I'm going to give emergency declarations so that they can start building them almost immediately. And I think it was largely my idea because nobody thought this was possible. It wasn't that they were not smart, because they're the smartest, but I told them that what I want you to do is build your electric generating plant right next to your plant as a separate building, connect it. And they said, wow, you're kidding. And I said, no, I'm not kidding. You don't have to hook into the grid, which is old and, you know, could be taken out. If it's taken out, they wouldn't have any way to get any electricity. So we are going to allow them to go on a very rapid basis to build their plant, build the electric generating plant. They can fuel it with anything they want, and they may have coal as a backup. Good, clean coal, you know. If there were a problem with a pipe coming in, as an example, you're going with gas, oil or gas, and a pipe gets blown up or for some reason doesn't work, there are some companies in the U.S. that have coal sitting right by the plant so that if there's an emergency,
here,
they can...
For time's sake, let me jump in. Saying coal to these people, coal, is the worst thing you can say to them. They hate it. They hate coal. And Trump sold it on nuclear, coal, everything. I love it. It's great. And the Bond villains can't stand it, even though they're all going to go home on jets and yachts powered by fossil fuels. But they still hate it because these people are all freaking hypocrites. All right, we're going to talk about the WEF and Davos and what Trump said today. We got a great guest coming up on this. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.